Bhaktivinoda Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Natchakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Praying Shikoh Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gogopina Shaina Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai. Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai. Navadvipa Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai. Gangamaya Jamuna Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaurapurna Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Ma Om Shikadaya Krishna Swami Bhutamaya Jinnati Bhakti Vrinda Swami Jinnati. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pacharani, Upasesa Sanyadana Pasachari Sajani. Vande Nam Shri Guru Shri Chapari Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupam Sagar Jatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Stam Sajivam. Sadvaitam Sadvaitam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Ravata Shri Vishakam Vitamsha. Manchikapa Chikrishcha Kripasin Vyanja. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So it's October 10th, 2018 in Noida, India, and we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 13, The Behavior of a Perfect Person, Text 39. Aniya Paritustatma Yadrijo Panataraham Nachekshaye Bhavani Mahayir Aniha, with no desire to possess more. Paritushta, very satisfied. Atma, self. Yadricha, in its own way, without endeavor. Upanatat, by things brought in by possession. Aham, I, no, not, chet, if so, shaye, I lie down, bahu, many, ahani, days, maha adhi, a python, eva, like, Sattvavan, enduring. Srila Prabhupada's translation. I do not endeavor to get anything, but am satisfied with whatever is achieved in its own way. If I do not get anything, I am patient and unagitated like a python and lie down in this way for many days. Srila Prabhupada's purport. One should learn detachment from the bumblebees, for they collect drops of honey here and there and keep it in their honeycomb, but then someone comes and by force takes all the honey away, leaving the bumblebees with nothing. Therefore, one should learn from the bumblebee not to keep more money than one needs. Similarly, one should learn from the python to stay in one place for many, many days without food, and then eat only if something comes in its own way. Thus the learned Brahmana gave instructions gained from two creatures, namely the bumblebee and the python. Aniha pratitustatma yadricho panatad aham nachet chaye bhavani mahayir eva satvavan. I do not endeavor to get anything, but am satisfied with whatever is achieved in its own way. If I do not get anything, I am patient and unagitated like a python and lie down in this way for many days." So this, of course, is a description of the sannyasi, and particularly the abduta, one who is not part of the social order of varna and ashram, one who is living outside of the varnashram system as an abhidhuta, or it could be somebody in the varnashram system as a sannyasi. And the point here that this brahmana is making is about detachment. Detachment is a theme that runs throughout the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, and is often very greatly misunderstood and misapplied. When detachment is understood and applied properly, it is a gateway to tremendous joy and freedom. Srila Prabhupada writes in the first canto that the need of the soul is for freedom. Do we have translation going on there?
Yes?
Okay, if I speak too fast, or if I say something you don't understand, will you raise your hand and ask me? Okay. For everyone else, am I speaking slowly enough? Yes? Okay. The same for everybody else, if I go too fast, or if I say something you don't understand, you'll ask me? Yes? So Prabhupada writes in the first canto that the need of the soul is for freedom. That we naturally want to be uncontrolled by the modes of material nature. And we often think that the way to become free is on some sort of external level. Like the Indians wanted to be free of the British rule, right? Gandhi was working for that, and Srila Prabhupada joined Gandhi's movement to free India from British rule. But often people think that freedom is only achieved in that way. That we will pass laws so that the women are not controlled by the men, the workers are not controlled by the businessmen, the citizens are not controlled by the government, the government is not controlled by religion, isn't it? Right? Used to be religion was controlling the government, and then throughout it became secular state. And used to be the business was controlled by the government, then the government becomes a government of businessmen. And then the workers were controlled by the businessmen, and then they make their labor unions. And people are thinking, we're going to adjust the laws, we're going to adjust the material energy, and thus we will become free. Or some people try to become free by having a lot of money. They think, if I have a lot of money, then I can go where I like and do whatever I like. Isn't it? There are so many ways that we are thinking. Or a person may think, I'll become free by getting rid of my possessions, traveling with one little bag, or just the clothes on my back, and just not having a family, and not having a job, and just going from one place to another, and this way I'll become free. But the problem is, as long as we are under the modes of material nature, we are not free, isn't it? One cannot get free of these modes of nature as long as we are working under the modes of nature. It's not effective. We are still forced to take care of the body. We often feel forced, as Arjuna explains in the third chapter, to become angry, to become lusty, to become greedy. Isn't it? We feel forced, correct? Yes? Yes? I don't think Arjuna is the only one with this problem. Do we also have this problem? We want to be in a certain way, and yet we are feeling forced by our mind and by our body. And just making some kind of external arrangement doesn't really solve the problem. And so we see that people try in so many ways, but still there to stir. So how do we actually become free? What is the key to becoming free? And there's some hints in this verse and purport, although this particular verse and purport does not give the whole picture. It's giving a part of the picture, and without getting the rest of the understanding from the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, one will not be very solid in one's renunciation. So we can ask, what is the purpose of detachment? This internal detachment, how is it functioning? What does it do for us in terms of bhakti? And how do we have detachment as part of our sadhana? What does it mean to cultivate detachment, as Krishna says in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita? What is the actual process that we do? So the value of detachment on a material level is it is the greatest of the 6 opulences. People think of wealth just in terms of money, but a rich life can be understood only in terms of all 6 opulences. And we have virya, which is strength and health. If you have a lot of money, but you have no strength and health, your life is not really prosperous. Then there's Shri. This is the opulence of splendor, charisma, beauty. If everything in your life is ugly, even if you have a lot of cash, then you don't have a very wealthy life. Then there's Gyan. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding. Again, if you have a lot of money, but you are an uneducated fool, you don't have any discrimination, any discretion, any understanding, you don't have a very rich life. Then there is the wealth of Aishwarya, which comes from the word Ishwar. This is the wealth of having other people follow you, having some influence, and having some autonomy in your own life. Without that, again, just having a lot of cash does not make one very rich. Then there is the wealth of Yasha. Yasha is when people think well of you because you have done good things. It is not like Kirti. Kirti is people say nice things about you, or they talk about you, you're famous, but maybe for no reason, or maybe for a bad reason. But Yasha is the child of Kirti and Dharma. So it is people are talking about you because you are Dharma. So this is the opulence of community or family. You have people who like you, and they like you because you are likable. And without anybody who likes you because you are likable, what is the use simply of cash? But all of these opulences, Virya, Shri, Gyan, Aishwarya, and Yasha, are very dependent on other people and other circumstances, right? One can lose one's beauty, one can lose one's influence, lose one's leadership, one's health, in a moment. In a moment, all you need is a car accident or some disease, isn't it? Right? My late sister-in-law, she was staying at a friend's house. She got up at night to use the toilet and she opened the wrong door. And instead of going into the toilet room, she fell down the concrete steps and damaged her brain. And my brother-in-law was saying, you don't think how in one moment whole life can be changed. So those 5 opulences are very shaky. But then the last one, Vairagya, that is more internal. Somebody can ruin your good name. Your family may desert you. Your money may be gone from the bank. You may lose your knowledge. You may lose your health. But who can take from you your detachment? Nobody. So of all 6 opulences, this is the most amazing one, the most interesting one. And it gives beauty to all the other opulences. However, on the material level, it is still a material opulence. And being attached to Vairagya separate from Krishna is just as damaging to spiritual life as being attached to Aishwarya or Virya or Shri or Yasha or any of the other opulences. We may think that because detachment is useful in spiritual life, that I can be attached to the material detachment. So many times people become attached to their detachment. You understand? Many times people, thank you, become attached to their detachment. Actually, this happened to Sudama Vipra. Our acharyas tell us that the reason Krishna gave Sudama Vipra so much money and such a big house is Sudama Vipra had become attached to his detachment. And we have to be careful, because detachment, separate from Krishna, is simply a material opulence. And not different from the other kinds of material opulences. And sometimes our devotees, I mean, if this could happen to Sudama Vipra, it can certainly happen to us. Yes? This is the example. So sometimes devotees become attached to the concept of their renunciation. We see this very prominently in places where people are pushed, stay a brahmachari, stay a brahmachari, stay a brahmachari, no matter what, and they get to be 45 and they crack. And they go, now I have to get married at 45. That means they were a brahmachari out of attachment to detachment. You understand? It was some kind of ahankara. We see this also with grihasthas. The man is not kind to his wife. The wife is not kind to her husband. Right? The house is dirty. Husband has nothing to eat. And the wife is rushing to the temple and serving all day. I am so detached. I am so detached. We see this. But this is being attached to a material opulence. And that kind of detachment is just as entangling and just as foolish and just as much illusion as being attached to fame or being attached to beauty or being attached to having big muscles or something like that. So one has to be very careful of that kind of detachment. So we're talking about a different kind of detachment entirely. The six opulences can be under Durga Devi, or they can be under Radharani. Yes, because these six opulences, they're all fortune. They're different kinds of fortune. So it is the goddess of fortune. But if we try to enjoy these separately from Krishna, immediately we get Durga. Like Ravana tried to capture Sita, and he didn't get Sita. He got a Maya Sita. So we want to enjoy these opulences through Krishna, under the shelter of the internal energy. Mahatmanastu Mahaprata Daivi Prakriti Mashita. And then one enjoys all the opulences. Why just detachment? Everything. But today we'll look particularly at detachment. So when detachment is actually under the internal energy, what it does is it facilitates spiritual realization. It clears one's intelligence. I think we all have an experience that when we are very attached to something, or some idea, some activity, some person, some place, we cannot make clear decisions. Isn't that a fact? Right? Our emotions, our desires, cloud our decisions. Because Krishna talks about attachment, fear, and anger. If I am attached to something, then I think I need this for my happiness. I need this relationship, I need this position, I need this possession, and if I lose it, then I will suffer in some way. This fear that if I lose it or if I don't get it, I will suffer in some way, makes us angry whenever that attachment is threatened. And as Krishna explains in in 262 and 263, this kind of attachment and lust and anger bewilders our intelligence. And we may think, oh, I am thinking very clearly and very philosophically, but we are not. The sad fact is, my dear friends, that the vast majority of our practical and philosophical arguments and contentions are rooted in some kind of attachment. They are emotionally based. How do you know that people's position is emotionally based? That no matter what facts and what verses are presented, it doesn't matter. Have you experienced this? You try to have a rational discussion with someone, and the logic and the shastra and facts don't matter. So I had an experience about a year ago. I was with a group that was supposed to make a decision about a practical and philosophical question for the society. And one of the members said, I've already decided, and I am not interested in looking at the evidence. As we say in America, I have already made up my mind, don't confuse me with the facts. So this is a symptom of attachment. It clouds our intelligence. Like Krishna explains very nicely in the Bhagavad Gita, that people in the mode of ignorance think what is bad is good and what is good is bad, yeah? In the mode of passion, you don't know. Sometimes you understand, sometimes you don't. And in sattva-gun, we have the word sattva here, in sattva-gun, one can understand what is liberating, what is binding, what is to be feared, what is not to be feared, what is to be done, what is not to be done. We are told in the six symptoms of surrender that we should accept what is favorable and reject what is unfavorable. But how do we know? This is one of the big questions people ask all over the world. Should I do this or should I do this? What is favorable? Should I live here or here? Should I marry or not? Who should I marry? How many children should I have? What job should I do? Where should I go to school? All these questions. And most of the time, the first answer is clear your consciousness. And then you will see for yourself. So detachment clears the consciousness. It allows one to understand how to serve Krishna. Also, Krishna nicely explains that happiness in the mode of goodness naturally awakens one to self-realization. If we look at all of the systems of yoga, they all involve becoming detached. Because as soon as one is detached, as soon as one does not have an investment in something in the world for one's happiness, the mind becomes peaceful. And in that state, one naturally sees that one is a soul and can naturally see God. It is like a stepping stone. I remember one time Jayaprataka Swami saying, it's like the airport. It doesn't take you someplace, but it's the platform from which you can get someplace. So this detachment, it provides the ground for spiritual realization. So detachment is something that accrues naturally from bhakti yoga. And many times we preach like that. You will get detached naturally from engaging in bhakti. It's a side effect of bhakti. And that is true, because the system of bhakti is I become attached to Krishna, Maya Shakamana. As Rupa Goswami says, Jivati Namitayuni, Yugam Chayamitayita, Manobramateta, Manumay Ramatantvai. Just like a young boy and a young girl are naturally attached and attracted to each other. Let me become attached to you. Manamanasa Marukaram Arvaya Nijakaram Pankaja Mankaram. Just like the bee, here we have the bee, just like the bee is going to the flower. So let my mind be like a madukar, let it be like a bee at your feet. Let me become attached to you. And when we become attached to Krishna, we naturally become detached, because param jisvanivartite. we get a higher taste. For 10 years, I had a garden. I would grow my own vegetables and fruits. And the bad thing about having a garden is that when the growing season is over, you do not like to buy things from the shop, because the taste is not so nice, at least in America. They are flying in fruits and vegetables from all over the world. They don't stick to the seasons like Hirani Kashipu. He wanted to produce, he forced actually the plants to produce fruits all year out of season. So in the modern society, instead of just getting strawberries in June in the season, you can buy in January when there is snow on the ground because they are shipping. But then they're not very nice. No? When you pick your own strawberries, you're like, wow, I didn't know that strawberries had this flavor. We had fruit trees, and I was like, I felt like I had never before eaten a real fruit. And once you have the tree ripened, the vine ripened, organically grown fruit out of your backyard, you lose your taste for the artificially produced food. What to speak of losing your taste for the imitation chemical food? Isn't it a fact? You can buy so many chemical drinks. Yes? In India they have, huh? Fake mango juice. It's just water and sugar with some orange color. Maybe half of a percent mango juice, maybe. Some chemical flavor. But after you eat the real mango, who will like this other juice? You will. Nobody has to teach you detachment if you have a real mango. Who is going to choose the chemical juice of the mango? Who will choose the chemical juice? So when we become attached to Krishna, naturally we become detached from Maya. Because Maya is actually, it's nothing really. It's an illusion of enjoyment. It is not enjoyment. It is just touching the body and mind. It's not touching the self. It's like putting petrol in your car. You do not become satisfied in your stomach. You can look at the gauge on the car. Oh, if the tank is full. But your stomach is still hungry. So all material enjoyment is like that. Like in a dream, you can eat food. Have you ever eaten food in a dream? Yes? And you can taste the food in your dream. Correct? One time on a fast day, I was dreaming that I was eating a feast. I remember I was dreaming I was eating cauliflower pakoras. And it was a nirjal fast, so in my dream I was drinking water. And I was drinking one cup of water. Another cup, another cup, another cup. Then in my dream, I took a big jug of water and I was drinking whole jug. And then in my dream, I thought, something is not right. And then I woke up and I can understand, oh, dream water. And after you have real water, dream water will not interest you. So when we actually experience Krishna, material world is not interesting. Now in the other kinds of yogas, they achieve detachment in another way. In karma yoga, karma phala tyaga, Krishna says, 12th chapter, when you give up the fruits of your work, you feel detached. Work, give away the fruits. Work, give away the fruits. Work, give away the fruits. You become detached. In Jnana Yoga, you study philosophy, and like here, you study nature. You study the honeybee, the bumblebee, working so hard to collect honey, and some human being or some bear comes and takes it. Ah, detachment. Or you study the python. The python is a cold-blooded creature. We are warm-blooded creatures. Warm-blooded creatures, we require 80% of what we eat goes to maintaining our body temperature. So we need to eat quite a lot because we have our own fire inside. But the cold-blooded creatures, they get their heat from the sun. They don't have to create their own heat, so they don't have to eat very much. And because of that, they can go a long time without eating. So some of these big snakes we have here, in Sanskrit, Maha Ahir, the big snake, which is understood to be a python, very, very big. They can go sometimes 1 year, 1.5 years between meals, just imagine. We become disturbed, you know, after 6 hours, 7 hours between meal, we become very disturbed. They can go 1.5 years. So this Avaduta is looking at the bees and the pythons, and in this way he's becoming detached. So this is Dhyan. Or in Dhyan, or Astanga Yoga, you become detached mechanically by changing how you are breathing and how you are sitting. It changes the flow of air and it changes the mind, so the mind becomes very detached. So you can see in Karma Yoga, Dhyan Yoga, and Dhyan Yoga, they're focusing on detachment in and of itself as their sadhana. And in Bhakti, it's a side effect. But we should ask, is intentional cultivation of detachment also part of the sadhana of Bhakti? And if so, how are we to do that? So of course, although Jnanakama Anavritam, we don't cover our bhakti with Jnan, Karma, and Yoga. Elements of Jnan, Karma, and Yoga are indeed included in bhakti. And Prabhupada is telling us here, we should also study nature to become detached. Huh? That is also part of our process. But the main way we practice detachment as part of our sadhana is something which I feel is not much understood or taught in our movement. Even though it exists throughout the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam. In fact, over and over and over again. It seems to be more understood by those in Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Dhyan Yoga because they have some concept of detachment as a sadhana. And somehow we seem to miss it, we Bhakti Yogis. And instead we try to cultivate detachment, as I said in the beginning, in some kind of strange, artificial, and material way that actually disturbs our bhakti and makes our heart harder. The practice of detachment as part of bhakti yoga is explained so beautifully by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. When he talks about the person who is very dear to him. In the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in verses 13 through 20, Krishna is going through this list of being neutral towards friends and enemies, honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress. And he keeps saying in every verse, someone who does this is very dear to me. So that, my dear friends, must be part of bhakti, correct? It must be part of bhakti to cultivate a mentality that makes one dear to Krishna. And Prabhupada speaks about in Nectar Devotion, the physical culture of bhakti, rising early, taking a bath, singing deities, eating prasada, and the mental culture of bhakti. So the mental culture of bhakti involves always thinking of Krishna, manmana bhagavad bhakto. But it also means having a particular way, mentally, of dealing with the material energy. And this way is explained very nicely in that 12th chapter. It's also explained very nicely in Bhagavad Gita 2.64. In Bhagavad Gita 2.62 and 2.63, what is Krishna explaining? Very famous verses. We call this the fall down sequence, the steps. Yes, you contemplate, you become attached, you become lusty, you become angry, your memory is bewildered, your intelligence is lost, and you fall into Maya, as we say. And the solution is given in text 64. Krishna talks about a mental culture of detachment, a physical culture of detachment, and he says one who does both of these prasadi abhigacchati. We'll get prasada. That doesn't mean a samosa. It means we'll get the mercy of the Lord, the grace of the Lord. So that also must be part of the process of bhakti, because it is connected with the grace of the Lord. And in 14:22-23, Krishna is explaining very, very clearly how to have this mental culture. He says, one who does not hate illumination, attachment, or delusion when they appear, nor long for them when they disappear, remain ever neutral, knowing that the modes alone are active. One who does not hate illumination, attachment, and delusion when they appear, nor long for them when they disappear. Srila Prabhupada explains in that purport that as long as we have a material body and a material mind, desires, attachments, emotions are going to come into the body and mind. If someone thinks, oh, if I am Krishna conscious enough, no desires or emotions will ever come into my body and mind. That is not the statement of the Shastra. The Shastra is saying, yes, they will come. But be like the ocean. The rivers are going into the ocean. The ocean does not change. So how to do this? Some river comes into our ocean. Some river of some desire for something. Some emotion. Sadness, joy, grief, surprise, excitement, anger, bewilderment, frustration, irritation, curiosity. Any of these emotions or some desire. Desire for money, desire for gross sex, desire for subtle sex, desire for prestige, desire for fame, desire for material security, so many desires. And we say, oh, that's Krishna's illusory energy. That's the modes of nature. How interesting. It's not mine. I am the soul. This is not my sadness. It is not my joy. It is not my grief. It is not my anger. It is not my frustration. It is not my desire. This desire for a car, or a man, or a woman, or fame, it is not my desire. It's like you walk through a shop. They are selling televisions, and on the television, so many movies are playing. You have all seen? But I am not watching the movie. I see there is a movie. I'm walking past and I see, oh, in that movie somebody is shooting a gun. In that movie somebody is getting married. In that movie somebody is jumping from a helicopter. But they're not my movies. I don't hate them. And I am not attached to them. I leave them. Prabhupada said that the businessman is riding in a car. And I'm assuming Prabhupada's thinking he's riding in the back seat with the driver. Prabhupada said the businessman knows how much petrol is in the car, whether the car is turning right or left. He knows. But he is focused on his own business. So generally materialistic people deal with emotions and desires by expressing them and trying to fulfill them, or by repressing them. Oh, this is not a good emotion. This is not a good desire. Go away, go away. Sometimes people will repress without even identification. They're just repressing. They don't even know what they are repressing. Repression of desires and emotions makes one physically ill. And eventually they will manifest. They cannot be repressed and suppressed unlimitedly. This is why people say, oh, I thought it went away and it came back. Because if we're just repressing, it comes back. And if we just try to express and fulfill all of our desires and emotions, we will not have very many friends. Maybe we will go to prison. There will be some difficulty, isn't it? So So caught between these two things of trying to express and fulfill all my desires and emotions, or trying to kill all my desires and emotions, people become so confused they just want to escape. So they sit and watch the television and the movies, or they just, you know, spend all day going through the internet, or they take some alcohol or some marijuana, or they work really hard, so they never have any time to think. That is another kind of escaping. And people think this is my only choice, to express my desires and emotions, to repress them, or to try to escape them. But what we do to please Krishna, to be dear to Krishna, is we look at these things and we say, there is a material desire, even here for food. Even for food. Sometimes we may not be able to get food. Isn't it? Sometimes happens. Nothing to eat. Yes? Of course, if I am staying with people from India, I will never have that problem. I will have too much to eat. But even with devotees, if they are not from Indian culture, they may not always feed you. You may be very surprised. But it is a fact. Sometimes there's nothing. And when even with desire for food, one says, this is just in the body and the mind. It is not me. I don't have to be attached to it, and I don't have to hate it. I can just let it be. Like a monkey. You know, in Vrindavan there are so many monkeys, even here, yes? They're very troublesome. And you don't feed the monkeys that come to your house. Correct? What happens if you feed those monkeys? Then they will stay around your house all the time. And they will break your water tank. We have experience. We didn't know when we first came to Vrindavan. We were very sentimental. We fed them, Krishna's monkeys. And they broke our water tank, and they take the clothes and they pull them. But you don't hurt the monkeys either, isn't it? You may threaten, but you don't hurt them. So you don't feed them, you don't hurt them. So all these material desires, don't feed them, don't kill them. In the West we say, not my monkeys, not my circus. So we are a soul. We are a soul. Na jayate niyate vaka dachit na yamuka bhavita vaka bhiya ajan cha sasva chakra prama mahanyate yamimane shirya. I am a soul. I have nothing to do with the desires and the emotions of this body and mind. It's like a movie being played by Maya according to my past karma, my past desires, or whatever, karma guna sandasya. It's just a Maya's movie. Now feel angry. Now feel sad. Now feel happy. Now feel curious. Now want to buy that. Now want to get away from that. It's Krishna's energy. It belongs to Krishna. It's not mine. Not my monkeys. Neither express nor enjoy nor hate. Not hold and not push away. Just leave it. Monkeys jumping outside the door, leave it. It will go away if it's not fed. Yeah? Like they say, if you want to get rid of a guest, first you stop giving salt. Gradually you give less and less, and the guest will go away. Oh, there is nothing here. Yeah? So you ignore, not push away, not repress, and you focus your consciousness on Krishna. The impersonalists and the voidists, they simply try to ignore. Na raga, na dvesha, just no attachment, no aversion, nothing. Ah, but in bhakti so much easier, because we say no attachment, no aversion, yes Krishna. And we give up attachment and aversion to please Krishna. Because he says, one who lives like that is very dear to you. And when we have this as part of our bhakti sadhana, then we can be satisfied anywhere, with anything, anytime. People praise us, whatever, not my monkeys, not my circus. People criticize us, not my monkeys, not my circus. Our satisfaction is in Krishna. Then we are truly free. Then we have the freedom that we are hankering for, that is our natural right as a soul, our natural position as a soul, not as some material opulence, not as some kind of false ego, but just naturally there as our own spiritual state. So this is something anybody can practice. It's not that you have to first be some, you know, Paramahamsa. Krishna is giving this instruction in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. This is not 10th canto Rasalila stuff. You say, oh, I am not a Mahabhagavata, I have to be attached. Someday when I am like Prahlad, then I will be. No. It's in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Correct? Right? Correct? I mean, this is very beginning practice that any of us can do. We can just practice. Oh, look at that. Maya's here. Oh, huh. Maya is so interesting. Krishna's energy is so wonderful, but it's not mine. I let go of the desire to enjoy this. I let go of the desire to kill it and control it. I let go of the desire to control Maya. She is not mine to control. I have another business. Let me attend to that. So I forgot to ask how long the class went, so I hope I did not go over time. I'm good. It's okay. I don't know if that means I went over, but it's okay. No. 3 minutes. Ah, very good. So we have 3 minutes for questions or comments or chastisements. Sometimes I get those. Additions, subtractions, corrections. Yes, please.
Thank you, Madhavi, for the most enlightening class. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming to my false ego is more subtle than intelligence.
Yes.
So most of the time it is very difficult to tap it with our own intelligence. Mm. And false ego in the mode of goodness, like, is philanthropy, as Radhanath Swaminarayan explains, it is philanthropy or some charity that is done without understanding the, you know, the soul or not relating it to the meaning. The attachment you were talking about in the beginning, and you wanted, you said that detachment from the attaching to the detachment that you often show, express in our day-to-day life, what it is like, it's false ego, the mode of
passion. That's a very nice question. By the way, the biggest philanthropists are in Rajaguna, not Sattva. The big philanthropists, that's Rajaguna.
So Maharaj explains about the Jara Bharat and Maharaja Bharat.
Well, there's philanthropy in each of the modes.
Yeah.
But let's look at detachment in each of the modes. So detachment in the mode of ignorance is, I don't care about eating healthy food. I don't care about cleaning my house. I don't care about being nice to my family members. Too much trouble. I'm very detached. So that's detachment in the mode of ignorance. And the person becomes proud of this. Very, very proud. I am detached from cleaning my house. I am detached from my health. I am detached from my family. In the mode of passion, people are detached, they exhibit detachment to get the praise of others. I am such a paka brahmachari. I am such a paka sannyasi. Yes, yes, come see my detachment, see my detachment. I'd like to tell everybody how detached they are. So everybody will say, yes, 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 you are very detached, you are very detached. And also in the mode of passion, people are proud of their detachment as a way of feeling very dharmic. Because the mode of passion is very attached to wanting to be very dharmic in the world. Prabhupada says the mode of passion is connected to all the culture and philosophy and philanthropy. The mode of passion really exemplifies human civilization. The mode of ignorance is very much animal. So people like to have, just like the big politicians, they often like to present themselves as detached. I'm just working for the good of the country. I'm not working for my own name and fame. But they're doing that as like a principle of dharma to impress others and to enjoy the world. Then detachment in the mode of goodness one does because it feels so good inside. The basic motive in Satvaguna is that really beautiful, wonderful feeling you get when you are acting according to Satvaguna. You know, you get this like peacefulness. Okay? When you have some detachment, you just feel, wow, I'm peaceful. You don't care if anybody else notices it. You're not doing it for good karma. And you're not doing it in a way that hurts other people. You're doing it so you're like, wow, I'm free. Woo-hoo. And there's a little bit of this abhiman. I am so much better than all those attached people. There is this, that's how you know it's satvaguna, because there's this little voice. Wow. She has 40 saris, and I only have 5. I am so much better. You know, there's this little thing like that. It may be a little voice, but it's a little voice. You know, I'm better. And all these people running after money and name and fame. I don't even have to paint my walls. I went to a devotee's home like that. The walls were all like mess. He said, why don't you paint your walls? Oh, the world is just temporary. I'm not like these other people who are running around painting their walls, you know? So yes, Satvaguna, you just have this kind of, I don't know how to explain it, like a warm, fuzzy feeling in your heart. It's like, I am merciful, I am detached, I am forgiving, I am peaceful, I am so spiritual. I mean, I have found in my preaching that often those people are very difficult to preach to because they think they're already so spiritual. Oh yes, I like Hare Krishna, but I'm already so spiritual. But in bhakti, it's very different. In bhakti, it's like I'm returning the control of the material energy to the controller of the material energy. Very different thing. I'm saying, Krishna, I'm your servant. You're the controller of my bhakti-ramekata-samsara-loka-neshra. That's your business. It's not my business to enjoy Maya, and it's not my business to hate Maya. My only business is to admire Maya as your energy. Wow, what an amazing material energy you have. That's all.
Many times, in a group of people, we have family members, we have friends, not at a similar level of understanding. So how do you decide that they're conveyed and
So Bhagavatam says with people like that, you just say yes, 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 and you do your own business. Anybody else? Yes, brother. Wait for the wandering microphone. And you have to really use the microphone.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned that, like, we have, like, in your team, when you were giving the example of the TV case, like, we are not watching the movie, we are not, we move on to our own way. So, like, probably I understand that, like, when we are focusing on our own work, like, how is not that as a measure of our desire? Like, when we ignore something and focus on something else, then that something else can also be taken as our own desire or our own.
Well, what we're supposed, I think I understand you clearly, what we're supposed to be focusing on is our relationship with Krishna at every moment. How can I please Krishna in this moment? Prabhupada very nicely explains this in a letter to Jayaprataka Swami in 1972. Where he says, the secret of surrender is to know everything is Krishna's plan. Whatever is meant to be, I am doing that. Let me do it with full attention to every detail. Let my mind be absorbed. I may not be getting every word right. Let my mind be fully absorbed in this. Never mind what it is. And let all other considerations be forgotten. And let my only desire for Krishna's pleasure be my only motive. Something like that. So he's saying, wherever I am, that is Krishna's plan. I am where I am meant to be. Let me pay attention to all the details. Let me focus completely on what I am doing and not think of anything else. And let me only try to please Krishna. So that is what we should be doing, those 4 points, all of the time. And when other emotions and desires come, then they are like some monkey coming to your door when you are focused on your work. Oh, there's a monkey at my door. I let go of the desire to feed the monkey. I let go of the desire to kill the monkey. And I focus on my own work. Okay? I think we need to end now. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada Ki.